This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Subaru of Baton Rouge, SubaruBR.com. And we start with Foster Campbell, the Veteran Public Service Commissioner in 1975. He was elected to the Louisiana Senate. That's a long time ago. Gerald Ford was President of the United States of America. And he was there for 27 years, and then he was elected in 2002, beating a popular incumbent, Don Owen, to win a slot on the five-member Public Service Commission. And Foster Campbell has now held that position for 21 years. He is a Democrat, as we know. For those of us who have heard him on this show a few times, we know he says things that most people in public life in Louisiana will not say. And yesterday there was a contentious PSC meeting, and we'll talk with him about that. But Foster Campbell holds degrees in business and economics from Northwestern State University. He operates two insurance companies that he owns in Bossier City. He's also a farmer of note, raises cattle in Elm Grove in South Bossier Parish, father of six, and he is a venerable public servant. Right now in Louisiana, if you count the seven statewide office holders, all of whom are Republican, the six U.S. congressmen, five of whom are Republican, the two U.S. senators, who are both Republicans, and the five PSC members, of which three are Republican, there are 17 Republicans and three Democrats in public life in Louisiana. And there are 17 white Republicans, two black Democrats, and one white Democrat. And the only white Democrat remaining in a state that used to be dominated by white Democrats, in a state or regional office, the only white Democrat left standing is Foster Campbell. And on that note, good morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jim. I'm doing fine. How's everything going down there? I hope fine.
Going well. And this is a billion-dollar proposal that was on the table, and there was no vote yesterday, but it involves a company called Gulf Coast Sequestration. Now, tell us more about this carbon capture firm that has a big plan before the commission.
Yeah, it is a huge plan, and first let me say I had a lot of questions to ask. I am for the plan. I'm just trying to find out it's so much money, $600 million coming to the state of Louisiana, a lot of federal money. I just want to make sure that the taxpayers' money is being spent correctly. That's my job, and I'm very much involved in it. There's three companies. Battelle is a huge company, Climeworks, and Heirloom, and Gulf Coast Sequestration. Gulf Coast Sequestration is owned by a guy the governor just appointed to head up all the oil and gas operations in the state of Louisiana on his task force, a guy named Gray Stream. I understand he's a nice young guy, very involved. But what's troubling to me that, I'm seeking information, basically. This is going on his property. It's going to be millions and millions of dollars going to him and his family. I just want to make sure this was the right place to put it. Last night before I went to bed, I got a phone call late. And they said, well, I hear what you're saying about the Stream property. I said, yeah, well, what about it? I said, well, I got a little tip for you. The state owns property right next door, 75,000 acres on something that calls White Lake, which the oil companies gave to the state or the Wildlife and Fisheries Department, a big, huge plot of land with a huge, big, fancy hunting camp and all that. So why don't y'all put that on the state's property and let the state receive all the benefits? Well, I wish I would have known that yesterday about 10 o'clock when we're having a meeting, because that's an excellent question. If the state has property that we can use, of course I will be for using the state's property rather than somebody's private property. And this guy was anonymous. He just said, I want to tell you about it. He didn't want to be mentioned, and I didn't worry about it, but I checked it out. It is true. White Lake is 75,000 acres of state property. Well, it might be Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, but anyway, it belongs to the state. And if we could put the sequestration there, it would generate millions of dollars for the state of Louisiana rather than going to a family. You know what was ironic about this whole deal that got me sort of looking at it? They have another program going on in Texas. And when I checked on it, they told me it was in Kingsville, Texas. And so I said, Kingsville, Texas. What about Kingsville, Texas? What happens down there? I said, oh, I got it. That's where the 1 million acre King Ranch is. And lo and behold, guess where it's going in Texas? On the King Ranch. So I got to thinking about it. I said, why? I don't believe in political coincidence. I just don't believe that. I've been in politics 50 years. I don't believe in it. So anyway, these might be two places that it needs to go, but I'm just checking all the ifs and ands and all the questions I can ask. How they pick these places? Why is it the King Ranch in Texas? I mean, the wealthiest people in Texas or in the country own this place, Kleeberg's. Mm-hmm. And likely in Louisiana, these people are super wealthy. That's fine. I don't have anything against wealthy people. But what I do have is if the state of Louisiana has land, and I understand it does, I think that's true, we need to put it on state land where the state could reap the benefits. And so I've just been asking a lot of questions. We had a meeting yesterday about 2 hours. We asked a lot of questions. The people that represented these parties, they were very nice, and they could answer the question. It was a very civil meeting, but there's just a lot of questions that needs to be asked. First of all, let's make sure everybody understands. I don't want to lose $600 million grant to the state of Louisiana. That's not the point. And if they can clean up the environment, I'm for doing that. I remember I was in a debate 6 years ago when I ran for United States Senate, and we had about 12 people running, and the moderator asked the question, who believes in global warming at that time? That's what they call it, instead of climate change. I was the only one that raised my hand. I believe in it.
All right. Well,
I believe in climate change.
And to put that in perspective, the others in that race included John Kennedy, John Fleming, Charles Bustani, not one of them raised their hand?
No. They were all against it. It was nonsense. It was baloney, blah, blah, blah. You know, they had a reason. Whatever the reasons at the time, the Republicans were saying climate change is not true. Even though we had 18 or 19 of the most famous scientists in the world saying it is true, they all said that Kennedy was adamantly against it. Oh, and John Fleming, it was terrible. And Bustani said, "Oh, that's I don't know what they said. Fake science." Anyway, they were all against it. But I think we do have it, and I'm doing something about it. But I don't want to see $600 million coming to Louisiana, putting in say wealthy people's hands on their place. And until we do all the research to make sure that's the right place for it to go. And I'm asking the questions, and I'm glad I'm asking it. And yesterday at the Public Service Commission, the five commissioners, they were all there. Everybody was in attendance. Everybody was very attentive. We had 18 questions that we asked them. One of them, how much water do you need? Where is the water coming from? Is it a chance to get in the aquifer? Everything that you could ask, they want to make it as clean as possible. Renewable energy, where is it coming from? Where are y'all buying it? I mean, we had some great questions to ask them. And one of them was, what opportunity will the public have to question the project? They say they're going to have that. How long? Well, you know, here's one thing. They're going to put this carbon dioxide in the ground. How long does it stay in the ground? Is there any other value to carbon dioxide. They assured me there wasn't. I know that they're putting carbon dioxide in well sites in northeast Louisiana, Delhi, Louisiana, east of Monroe, had an oil field there, and they inject it with carbon dioxide. I don't know the scientific approach of it. I'm not a scientist, but I just want to make sure that when you put this in the ground and we pay for it, what else can they do with it? I do remember very clear, in Mike Foster's administration, we talked about petroleum coke, how the oil companies had all this petroleum coke, all the refineries. They couldn't do it. They didn't know what to do with it.
Okay, we do have to take a break of 89.3 seconds. We will return with Foster Campbell, get his take on the political world as well when we're back. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow is producing. Your number, 877-217-5757. And emails go to talk@talklouisiana.org. Foster Campbell with us, the 21-year veteran of the Public Service Commissioner, 27 years as Public Service Commission, and 27 years as a Louisiana Senator. Again, 877-217-5757. Carol in Jefferson, you're on with Foster Campbell. Good morning.
Good morning. I understand that carbon capture is necessary for the liquefaction process of gas. Being that this is kind of close to where that new industry is down there, how much of this is to help that new industry, and how much will capture carbon from old pollutions?
All right. Well, the jury's still out on carbon capture, but there are a lot of people who are fervent believers in it. And then there are some detractors like General Honoré. But Foster Campbell, you say right now, based on what you know, you believe that it's worth a shot. I'm paraphrasing, but I think that's where you are on this.
Yeah, that's exactly where I am. I don't want to lose $600 million because we don't think it works. I think it probably works. I hope it does, because Louisiana needs all the help we can get. We're one of the most polluted states, if not the most polluted states in the country. And they're putting it in an area down in Lake Charles where they have heavy industry. And we don't want to lose a chance to try this new science out. Hopefully it works. They think it works. We got a big grant. I just want to make sure that the taxpayers' money is spent wisely. $600 million it has to be monitored to see where the money goes. And like I said earlier, look, these are fine people where it's headed down that way, this family. They own 80,000 acres of land here. Nice people. But if there is 75,000 acres close to this particular site that the state of Louisiana owns, I'm for putting it on the state's land, because the state will receive the benefits instead of a family. I don't know all the details. I was just told about this last night. I know that's a fact, and we will be looking into that, because if it can go on state land, I'm for putting it on the state land.
All right. Now, as you can imagine, Foster Campbell, I've got folks asking me to ask you about the political world, and we just had an election cycle for statewide offices, 7 of them. Democrats didn't even contest 2 of them. Mike Strain elected without an opponent to his 5th term as agriculture commissioner, and Tim Temple winning his term as insurance commissioner without an opponent, and he lost to Jim Donilon 4 years ago, but he didn't have an opponent. But in the 5 races in which Democrats did field candidates, the highest percentage by a Democratic candidate in this cycle in a statewide race was 34.56% by Dustin Granger for treasurer. 34.56%. So what does that mean about the future of the Democratic Party in our state?
I don't know, but I'm real lonesome. I don't have many of my colleagues around me. I don't know. It looks like we got a lot of work to do. I think that, be honest with you, a lot of things have happened, but this Donald Trump phenomenon, whatever you want to call it, people following Donald Trump, Evidently, they're believers. I never did. I'm not a Donald Trump believer. I think I don't like Donald Trump. I don't like the things he says. I think he's mean, and I know he lies, and I don't understand people how they keep following him. He's done things that no other politicians could ever get away with. I think he's very, very close to Putin. It scares me to death. I think if he would have been president, he'd have let Putin have the Ukraine in 2 seconds. But anyway, there are a lot of people who love him, who vote with him, and whatever he sells them to do, they do, or they follow. It's a sad state of affairs, I think. This is me. But I am a Democrat for the reasons that I think Democrats worry about consumers, payday loan companies, you name it, jailhouse phones, high interest rates on credit cards, things that make easier for consumers. Mm-hmm. Worry about high rates on utilities. We've been trying to keep them down. But that's, like I say, I'm by myself, but I'm comfortable. I'm not going anywhere. And hopefully that we'll see what happens in the president's election. I'm certainly going to vote for Joe Biden over Donald Trump. I'll do it in about 2 seconds. There's things about Joe Biden I don't like, but I like him a hell of a lot better than Donald Trump.
Well, but I'm not going out on a limb. If that's the choice, Joe Biden has a fighting chance to win nationally. Donald Trump, who knows where he'll be at that point, but he will carry Louisiana even if he's in a jail cell, because you're right, people in our state love him, but at least a good portion of the electorate does. But you won your election, your last one, with him on the ballot. I don't know how you did it. How did you survive?
Well, I've helped a lot of people, and I think people know that I'm on the side of the people, and they're not worried. I'm not a favorite of the wealthy people in the state of Louisiana. They worry about me, I'm sure. I don't always do what they want me to do, and I come up with things like this. I mean, this is a typical example of the wealthiest folks in the world in Louisiana are getting wealthier. And I'm asking questions. I'm sure that makes a lot of people uncomfortable, but I think that's my job. I have a lot of friends I've helped during the years, and I think they know that, so they voted for me. And that was a big election. Donald Trump's on the running, and I ran against a Republican. It's some heartache, so I lost my home parish, Bossier Parish. It's a straight Republican parish. I've been here all my life.
And how much money through the years, ballpark, have you, as a public servant, helped provide for your home parish?
Well over $100 million. We have $70 million in a trust fund that I created for schools where they can only spend interest. And I did it for the whole state of Louisiana, the Educational Excellence Fund. $1 billion I got from the tobacco settlement for all the parishes. But in Bossier Parish, I've lived here all my life. My family came here in the 20s, and I'm not whining. I just can't win here. They vote straight Republican right down the line. Some other parishes in North Louisiana, but a lot of the rural parishes know that I help country people. I'm on agriculture oriented, and I was lucky, I guess. But like I say, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to vote for Biden or whoever the Democratic nominee is.
All right. Well, in the October 14th election, in which Jeff Landry won without a runoff for governor, the turnout was 35.6%. Saturday, I think it was around 23%. And apathy is a problem from both parties, but more so among Democratic voters. But in your home parish, or your home area, not your home parish, but your home area, Caddo, the biggest parish in your PSC district, which spans 24 parishes, a race for sheriff, Henry Whitehorn, 21,621, John Nicholson, 21,620. I would say in that case, 43,241 votes. Every vote counted.
Absolutely. I've never seen that before in my life. That's got to be a record, an election that large. And Mr. Whitehorn won by one vote. one vote. So nobody can say, listen, I shouldn't have gone fishing, or I shouldn't have gone to the LSU ball game. I should have voted for I left. They count one vote in the sheriff's race in Caddo Parish. Unbelievable. And I from all accounts, it's holding. He's declared victory, which you should. And he's a nice fellow. He was the head of the state police in Louisiana. And he won, fair and square.
All right. Hal and Monroe, we're about to go to a break. But when we come back, we'll ask Foster Campbell Hal's question, and he can ponder it during the break. But Hal asks if there should be a change at the top of the Democratic Party. Foster Campbell in the past has been supportive of Katie Bernhardt. Is she a victim, or is she not doing her job properly? We'll get Foster Campbell's take, and we'd like to hear from you if you're so inclined. 877-217-5757. We're back with more after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Foster Campbell, the ranking Democrat in our state. Francis Thompson used to share that moniker with him, but Francis has, after all these years, jumped on through to the other side. Foster Campbell is the last liberal lion in the state from the 1970s. He is in office until 2027, I believe. January of 27 is when his term ends. But Foster Campbell, what about the call for Katie Bernhardt to resign? Is that fair, or is that just jumping on somebody who's in a bad spot? What do you think?
I don't think it's fair. Katie inherited a hell of a mess. The lady that was the head of the Democratic Party, as you know, was incarcerated for doing some things she shouldn't have done. Katie inherited a big mess. She's trying her best. There might be somebody that could do a better job. I don't know who it is. But Katie is a nice woman. I respect her. I think she's doing the very best job she can do. Our party split up, but I put the finger of a lot of the problems that we've had on our prior secretary or director of the Democratic Party, the lady who, like I say now, is incarcerated.
Karen Carter Peterson, but yeah, she did.
I think she raised money.
She did well on that. Of course, she also, as we know, stole money, but she's gone. And Katie's trying to manage a party that is now a majority African-American party. Gary Chambers goes so far as to say that a black person, and only a black person, should be in charge of the Louisiana Democratic Party. But in order for Democrats to win, there has to be a coalition of blacks and whites.
You know, I've heard a lot about Gary Chambers. He's a guy that doesn't have a job, that gets in races, and he knows he can't win. He's a hell of a guy to be talking about unity in the Democratic Party. We had a guy running for the United States Senate from Bunkie, who was in the Navy, a very qualified, landed planes and ships in the middle of the night. And here Gary Chambers gets in a race, making sure this fellow didn't have a chance to win. I've heard about all of Gary Chambers I want to hear. I've never seen him win a race. I don't know if he has a job. But he's the least person to talk about unity that I know. He is a spoiler. That's all he does. I don't know when he thinks he is. When does he have a job and go to work?
Well, you need to be making some charges. And certainly, we issue the invitation to Gary if he wishes to appear and respond. But you've got a case now where here's a Democratic family. The governor, as we know, Kathleen Blanco, was a Democrat with a capital D. Her daughter just got elected parish president, city parish mayor president in Lafayette, and she is a Republican. She beat Josh Guillory, the incumbent, Monique Blanco Boulay, 52.4 to 47.6. So are we in a case now in which people in the past who might have been Democrats know the lay of the land and they're going to run as Republicans? Is that where we are, Foster Campbell?
Well, it looks like that. It looks like that. They feel like they can't win any other way, so they switch to be Republicans and they run as a Democrat. That's a nice lady who just won. I understand that she's a fine person. I knew her mother. She was a nice woman. And her dad was a nice guy. They were community leaders. They did a lot for Louisiana, all over the state. And I'm sure she felt like she had to run to win in Lafayette. She had to be a Republican. I understand that. She wanted to win, so she switched. That's mm-hmm. not something that I'm sure she wanted to do, but she wanted to win, and so she switched. I heard what she said a while ago on your show, that she's looking for unity. She wants all sides. That's healthy, that she wants all sides to be involved in her government. And that's a good news. That's a good thing. You know, when I first got elected to the Senate, we had one guy that was a Republican, Edward Sparm, who was the nicest gentleman that's ever served in the Senate. He was from Oak Ridge, Louisiana, the only Republican. Now there's only one white Democrat in the Senate. But Edward Sparm was a straight gentleman. He worked with everybody. People loved him. Edwin Edwards was crazy about him. He used to go hunting with him all the time. But it's changed. But we all got along, and then there got to be more Republicans. Ken Osterberg came along, and then so-and-so, a lot more of them came along. Ken Hollis, yeah. And John Hinkle, he switched, you know, and Benny right. Baggert. They're all nice folks, but we all got along. We went out to eat at night. Nobody was mad at anybody. But now these guys don't even speak. It's almost like it's a mortal sin. If you're a Democrat for Republicans, there's something wrong with you if you're a Democrat. That's a shame, and it's likewise for Democrats. It's a shame because the guy's a Republican. You don't like anything about him. I don't know if that'll ever change, but I think Newt Gingrich, this is just Foster Campbell talking, I think Newt Gingrich divided this country with hate. He brought it on, and now there is a lot of hate, and I don't think you can talk hate out of people. You got to pray it out of them. That's hate is in the heart. It's not in the brain. And you have to chisel mm-hmm. hate out of your heart. That's just my two bits for preaching. But now there's hate in politics. Hate.
Well, you mentioned Newt, and we can talk a bit about him. I've said many times over the last few weeks that Mike Johnson, of course, the first speaker from Louisiana, but a listener says technically Newt Gingrich was from Louisiana. He was educated at Tulane University, where he received 2 degrees, and he was at Tulane, Foster, from 1965 to 71, getting his MA and his PhD in modern European history. Wonder what was going on between 65 and 71 that might make a man want to stay in college for those 6 years. I wonder what it was. Rebel in Sherwood. Rebel, you're on with Foster Campbell. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Jim, and hello, Mr. Campbell. Thank you so much for the work that you do. I appreciate you, that's for sure. I've argued on Jim's show multiple times that what we have in America today and around the world is a fascist movement. And that is what Trumpism is. There's not another name for it. That's what it is. And the final element of fascism that is so important is having a cult of personality. And I don't think anyone can doubt that that's what we're dealing with now. And, you know, what do you say to people that just think, that only in America could we have a cult of personality built around one of the people with the worst personalities in history?
All right. Well, it's happened before, Rebel, but obviously not to this level. And Foster Campbell, he asked you the question, not me, so I want your take if you have one.
Rephrase the
about
question.
The cult of personality. We had it with Huey Long.
I mentioned it earlier. I've got a lot of friends who are Trump believers, good friends. And you can't talk to him about it. He does anything he wants to do, and they're just for him. You know, I never understand this. I've never understood this. Mitt Romney, to me, is a gentleman, a nice fella, who would have made a good president. That's what I think. And since he's been in the Senate, I even think that more, because he's shown that he's independent and he's a leader. Now he's getting out of the Senate because he can't deal with what's going on up there. People wouldn't vote for Mitt Romney, but they can vote for Donald Trump. I do not understand that. How in the world Republicans and a lot of evangelical people could not vote for Mitt Romney, but they can vote for Trump. How in the world is that happening? How can you compare Mitt Romney, a gentleman, a successful business guy, a guy who'll stand up and do the right thing among all kind of controversy, and then Trump that does everything from, I'm not getting into all his antics. We all know what he's done.
All right. Well, Ray in Prairieville's been waiting for a while. Ray, you're on with Foster Campbell. Hello, sir.
Thanks for taking the call, Jim and Mr. Campbell. I just, quick question, and I'll identify myself. I'm in between Democrat and Republican. I'm not
all right. What's your
conservative
question?
What does the Democratic Party have to do to regain control? You know, should they back better public schools, better roads?
All right. Well, they're all, if you're talking about Louisiana, the Democratic Party nationally is still a viable party and perhaps the majority party in our country, slightly. But in Louisiana, it's on a ventilator and life support. And I don't know that issues are going to do it. The Democrats may have to find a charismatic person of their own to lead them out of the wilderness, Foster Campbell.
I think so, too. I don't know. Like to say, I just, you know, our party is in shambles, to be nice. And a lot of white people now, these are white people, will not vote for a Democrat. I have people come up to me all the time, and a lot of them, and I'm flattered, you're the only Democrat I'll vote for. But there's a lot of them won't vote for any Democrat. And, I mean, it's everywhere. And you just saw in the last elections, can you imagine these three people that were running for these high offices in Louisiana? They teamed up. They all got 33, 33, and one got 34, of all the votes, whatever it took to get over the top. And I mean, you know, just unbelievable. And some of the parishes are almost identical. In other words, for example, in Sabine Parish, those two ladies and Fleming, they all got the same votes. I mean, they just ran as a team. It's just straight Republicans. And I don't know, some of the Democratic people in Washington say some crazy things. And then they quote that, but they don't quote Marjorie Taylor Greene. They can deal with her, or maybe they like what she's.
Well, Foster, we do have to run, but have a great Thanksgiving. We'll be calling again soon, and we'll return with more Talk Louisiana after this. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow is our producer, and your number is 877-217-5757. And we're in studio now with a gentleman who drove all the way from Acadiana to be with us, J.D. Regard. He is the chief nut officer. I thought nut was short for nutrition, but he's just the chief nut officer at one of the great entities in Louisiana, Cane River Pecan. The company was founded in 1969 by his father, Dan, and his uncle, Joe. And they acquired a pecan orchard along the historic Cane River in Louisiana's central Natchitoches Parish, the region known for fertile crop rows, cotton production, southern plantations, and prized pecan orchards. And from that point on, family members have had a variety of roles in the trade as growers, shellers, wholesalers, retailers. And it has been a Louisiana success story. The company's based in New Iberia. J.D. Regard lives in the lovely hamlet of Lafayette, and he drives to his office every day, and he told me he often listens to our show, which comes in like gangbusters in Acadiana, and I'm honored that you do that, and congratulations on your success, J.D.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's an honor to be here. I mean, you've become a Louisiana legend, so I feel honored to be in studio with you and appreciate the time to talk about our beloved state nut, the pecan.
Well, and it's the state nut because you led the charge in the legislature. I don't think there was a no vote to make the pecan the state nut, and long overdue, I would say.
Well, it was exciting. I mean, if you're not in the pecan business, maybe it doesn't mean as much to you, and some people may even refer to that kind of legislation as fluff legislation, but if you're in the trade, and of course, Louisiana is known as one of the foremost culinary states of the entire country. So anytime you can have something designated with a food item, it's very important to the trade and to the folks who work tirelessly in this industry, whether you're a farmer or you're a producer or you're somebody who may shell pecans. It's a big deal. And whenever we can highlight the pecan in certain dishes in Louisiana at certain restaurants by certain chefs, it's a really big deal. So getting House Bill 368 with the help of Representative Lance Harris out of Alexandria was a big, big deal for us this summer. And it was exciting to go to the governor and have it signed into law. I had him sign the law with a pen made of pecan wood that came from Mount Vernon, of a pecan tree that was over 145 years old on George Washington's estate that was cut down in 2014. They made some items out of the wood. One of them was a pecan pen, and Governor Edwards signed that bill into law with that pen, and we're going to put it in our pecan museum, which I'm starting next year. It'll be the first pecan museum in the country.
And I have in my hand something I've seen the governor wear a few times.
Yeah, the golden nut.
The golden nut.
I have a very good friend of mine here in Baton Rouge who's in the jewelry industry, and they've made some pecans for me made out of brass, and I keep them in my pocket, and sometimes I may give it as a tip to a waitress or the governor if he happens to be in the room, or Jim Inkster. And now it's your official lucky nut, Jim.
I am so honored. This is... made my Thanksgiving week.
There you go. Don't eat it. It'll crack a tooth.
And if you'd like to talk to this guy, he's got a big personality. Talk about a charismatic guy, J.D. Regard. He lives in New Iberia, or lives in Lafayette.
I live in Lafayette.
But you go to New Iberia.
Yeah, yeah. We travel to New Iberia every day. Of course, I pass a lot of sugar cane on the way to New Iberia, but there's a few pecan trees. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the great things about pecans is that it's really kind of a lifestyle nut if you think about it in Louisiana. We're one of the largest states with what we call a yard crop. And what that means is here in Louisiana, the only state that measures the amount of pecans that come out of people's yards. That's how many pecan trees we have in Louisiana. So while a lot of states can talk about the production of crop pecans, whether it's the pecans grown in Georgia, Texas, Oklahoma, here in Louisiana, we also gauge what we call the yard crop. And that's the pecans that people have in their yard, and they may collect them at the holidays. And what they always do is they may keep a few pounds to make some things with, and they might go down to the local hardware store and sell the rest of it to make a little extra Christmas money. You've seen those big signs along the highway. We buy pecans. They're all over the Louisiana this time of year. And when I was 9 years old, my father bought a pecan cracker for my brothers and I from San Antonio, put it in our garage in New Iberia. And we started cracking pecans, and we were the nutcrackers. We were the original nutcrackers, and that's how I made all my money in high school for dates and movies and all that fun stuff, cracking pecans. And so I've been schlepping pecans since I was 9 years old.
Well, the company started in 69.
That's right. Our pecan growing started in 69 along the Cana River in Natchitoches.
Were you born then?
I was born in 69. So I'm 54 years old, and I've... of course, at my father's knee in those early years when pecans were still being picked by hand, actually, on our farm. And I was around in the early 80s when we went from hand picking to mechanized picking. And that was a big move for a lot of farmers to get into mechanized picking. And my mother was the one who started our pecan company, Cane River Pecan Company, which is located in New Iberia. It was a mail order company. And now we're mail order, and we have a physical location in New Iberia, as well as a cafe we opened last year called the Pie Bar. You come in, get a cup of coffee and a piece of pecan pie.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But you have a nationwide following.
We do. We have a nationwide catalog that we send out throughout the country. People, we have clients in every single state. We do a lot of business gifting. A lot of your listeners here in the Gulf South and New Orleans and Baton Rouge and Lafayette, they have been ordering pecans from us for many years, banks, lawyers, oil field companies, insurance, wealth advisors, those kind of folks. And they've been sending our pecans from coast to coast for years. And because of the oil field industry in Lafayette, we've had sent pecans globally, actually, to all the little oil field outposts throughout the world. So we're real proud of that. And we have sold this red tin that I brought in today for the past 20 years. This is kind of like our Tiffany box, Jim. This red and silver tin.
I've seen those in a few different places.
Yeah, well, that's Cane River Pecan Company. We also do custom gifts where we put company logos on tins. We did about 35,000.
And I would imagine, you know, like book authors, they often, they like to come on in holidays because I'm told that as many books or more are sold in the month of December than all the other months put together.
That sounds about
I
right.
I suspect your business is seasonal as well, isn't it?
Well,
to some extent.
To very much extent. And part of that has the fact of gifting, true. But big part of that is because pecans are harvested in the fall, and they've made their way into some of our most cherished recipes that we enjoy during the holidays. And you think about pecans and breads and muffins and pies and salads. They've made their way, and candy, of course, they've made their way into a lot of our southern recipes that we love and cherish. And so it's no wonder that pecans are so popular here in the South during the holidays.
Well, the chief nut officer is the man we're talking with, J.D. Regard, spelled like regard, but he is a man who is a Louisianian through and through. But a listener knows a little bit about you. LSU is playing A&M this week. As in Saturday, who are you going to root for?
Oh, I'm LSU all the way. I'm an undergrad of LSU. I've got a master's degree at Texas A&M. But I'll tell you, I am 99.9% LSU all the way. I worked with Dale Brown's staff when I was in college during the Shaquille O'Neal years as a basketball manager. And I have a cherished relationship with Coach Brown and the LSU program. And you'll never beat the purple and gold out of me.
Well, and Dale Brown ought to have a statue outside the arena.
He ought to have one. And I guess Pete Maravich ought to have one,
too. Pete's got one in the back and they messed it up. It's some nicks and cuts on it, but they finally got it. But they put him in the back.
Oh, I don't know about that.
What's going on?
I guess his name got on the building.
Dale needs to be in front of the arena.
Yeah, and then you and I share something in common. We're both in the LSU Hall of Distinction. You went in, and I went in as the alumnus, the junior alumnus of the year a couple of years ago.
Well,
how about that?
You were far more worthy than I, but but I am honored to be in your company. But as you know, business is a tough world, and you have succeeded. And I know others have tried what you've accomplished, tried to replicate you, and they haven't been able to do it. What's the secret? Is there a secret?
I'll tell you the secret. The secret is getting up every morning and working. Honestly, just getting up every single day and pushing what you do and getting behind what you do and having passion for what you do. I have a passion for this business. We want to grow this business. I want to share one of our great exports throughout the world, and that's pecans and our culture with pecans and our culture with food, really, Jim. And so it's easy for me. I enjoy it very, very much, and those who are close to me will tell you I have a passion for it, and it's been a lot of fun, and I've been very creative with it. It's been great.
Now, Holly in the Garden District wants you. I've never been there, but I plan on going too. Holly, the location of your place where you can go and
in New Iberia?
Yeah.
Our place is on Main Street in New Iberia.
That's where you have the specialized place as well?
Yeah. The cafe, the pie bar.
Yeah,
it's downtown New Iberia in the historic district
Main Street.
Can't beat it.
Main Street.
Right where it should be, right?
That's Jeff Landry country.
It is Jeff.
I bet he's been there a time or two.
I went to school with his wife. Sharon and I are classmates.
You know everybody.
I know a lot. Look, a lot of people in Louisiana buy pecans. I know a lot about the business of Louisiana, I can promise you.
Well, moving forward, you've done very well. But is this business timeless, or is it one you got to keep churning?
I think you have to keep working at it. But you know, we are very deep rooted with the pecan. I don't think it's a fad product. I think it's going to be here for a long time. It's getting young generations of folks to buy into giving pecans as gifts. But, you know, they've got a great nutritious value to them. So they're heart healthy. So just plain, right out of the shell, naturally, they're a great product to snack on and to use in your favorite recipes. And so I think the pecan's going to be here a long time. And, of course, we look around Louisiana and we see pecan trees. They're part of our landscape. You know, we like to park our car underneath them and have a lemonade underneath them and catch a little shade too. So it's not just the nut, it's the tree too, you know. It keeps on giving, Jim.
Well, thanks for the nut.
The golden nut.
The golden nut.
You're right. Thank you. You're welcome.
And good luck in the holiday season and congrats on your continuing success. A family business that you've made it bigger and better than ever before. So J.D. Regard, hats off to you.
Thank you.
Cane River Pecan. Signature support for Talk Louisiana is from Subaru of Baton Rouge, SubaruBR.com. Until tomorrow, for Robin Dow, I'm Jim Inkster. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay tuned.